Holy shit. Right, I'm just on the Panic House website, and I've just seen a little banner advert. Out now on DVD. Some quote by Tarantino saying, Tetsuro Ishii is a genius director. Tetsuro Ishii's final film, his final masterpiece, Blind Beast versus Killer Dwarf. That sounds fucking awesome.
What is that about?
I don't really care. A pinky violence exploitation website, and it's called Blind Beast versus Killer Dwarf. It can only be good.
It sounds almost like a Shaw Brothers film, too. Could have been out of Shaw mold, the wacky Shaw mold as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fact that, what annoys me slightly, is that a film like Sex and Fury gets released by Eureka, who are known for, like, doing art house and classic cinema over in Britain on their slightly pricey DVDs. And it gets released in America. It's really well known. Whereas a film like Intimate Confessions of a Chinese Courtesan gets shit all recognition. And that film is way better than Sex and Fury. That should be getting a UK release.
I'll go with your opinion.
You not watched it?
Nope.
Oh, Stuart.
Isn't that a Shaw Brothers film?
Yep.
Yep, that's probably why.
What?
Not that the Shaw Brothers is bad. Calm down. Just not gotten around to it yet.
You love Intimate Confessions of a Chinese Courtesan, right?
I do love that. That's a brilliant film. We can go over that within its own podcast sometime. It's just a brilliant, brilliant, fucking brilliant film.
Okay, I'm convinced.
That's it. I also liked the movie goes into like the power you gain within the prison system and the domination that happens. You know, if you're, because they have like female prisoners that are, they are above some of the other prisoners because they have connections to the guards and can sort of set up other prisoners, and it's sort of about that. If you gain position, you're in a position also to exploit, and that backfires on certain characters when they try to make other prisoners trip over, so to say. I like this rather common theme in movies, but that it's in there because it's not the hurt that is dished out. It's not one-sided, meaning it's not only the males that perform, you know, the perverse things or the violent acts. You know, you have women too, performing it against women and against men. So it's not one-sided as such, which is not a bad thing to inject in your exploitation movies. But it's brilliant. Below 90 minutes too. Very good. You needn't any additional minutes to this film. 5 more minutes? No. I didn't miss anything.
Which is actually being remade as well, as far as I know.
Well, there was this movie called Sasori in Hong Kong, directed by Yao Ma. Judging by the name, obviously it's the name of that character. And at least one person didn't like it, and that was Adam Terrell. He thought it was the worst movie he'd ever seen. And
until,
Sasori has...
Until the next day when he saw another one.
Well, when he told us about that movie, that was basically the only movie he sat through because during that festival, because he learned his lesson. If something is bad, just walk out. But Sasori is a sort of absent. I don't know if it's even hit DVD, so it's one of those movies that kind of has a hard time finding a home somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe rightly, I don't know.
No, I was just thinking, when the hell do you talk about that? I'm really needing to listen to my own podcast more.
It's like last year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
It was off the can, so...
Yeah, so it was one of the 4 episodes he recorded with us.
Yeah, obviously. It's one of
Ken
those.
Knows his Puff.
And I can actually tell you which one it is, because it's one of my favourites, as you may remember. It's Puff 19.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Right, I'll listen into it.
I should have been a trailer man. Trailer voiceover man.
What does the trailer man sound like in Sweden?
Worse, sort of an when they try it out, and it's sort of an emulation of the trailer man we know of from American movies.
Interesting. I'd like to hear that.
I saw Magic Crystal, by the way, the other day.
Oh yeah, very good.
That was a dumb film, but I liked it.
Yeah, I like that film.
It's a dumb film. I know it's a dumb film, and it's okay because it's a dumb film. But what I loved about it is Nat Cham has no purpose in the film whatsoever. Other than to be all horned up for Charlotte Chung, and then he gets into a mental institution, and then he's never in the film again. He's literally without purpose in that film. He's just part of the skit structure. I didn't mind it at all, but it's one of those things. Yeah, Wong Jing, I know what you're doing. And I think
is that
you
the one Wong Jing's in?
Yeah.
Is Wong Jing the character who has his legs and arms swapped around?
That is Nap Cham.
All right. That bit makes me laugh. That's actually made me literally laugh out loud, which doesn't happen very often with Wong Jing.
I rather like when he thinks he can affect people's minds. But it works within 5 feet, but then he goes into the bank. Ooh, give me the money. You will give me the money. And I kind of like that because he sounded the dubber sounded so silly.
That's a good film, that is. That's fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
It is dumb.
That's not the one I'm thinking of that has Andy Lau in it.
Yeah, that's one.
All right, I've never seen it.
Singer, Ralph Rock, Max Mock.
The action is fucking brilliant in that film. That's another Tony Leung.
As someone said on HKMDB that he action directs like he's never gone action direct anymore after this film.
Right.
Action directs his little heart out.
Also, I know Andy Lau's doubled quite a bit, but even the bits he's not doubled, he looks really good in that film.
Yeah, he does. And didn't mind the in between Wong Jing stuff, which is really dumb and silly and cheesy effects. I didn't mind the whole Raiders of the Lost Ark, Close Encounters, E.T. combination of everything.
Wong Jing had just got a Steven Spielberg box set for Christmas.
So many new ideas, guys.
Yeah, I'm having that. I'm having that.
He's got the film on set and said, alright, just do it just like this.
Yeah, everybody's on set waiting for him to shoot the next part. What's coming next, Wong? Hang on a sec. I haven't seen it yet. Watching the video. Hello.
There we go.
Evening.
Ah, I was just urinating.
Oh well.
You're allowed.
Thanks.
I was just about to say, now is this a bad time to talk about thirst? Or just quite inappropriate?
Are we talking about the film or the sensation?
The film. This that film. More
than that subject, it sounded intriguing. Let's talk about thirst in general. When are you thirsty? What do you do about it?
Deacon, but this film looks awesome.
Yeah, the poster's pretty cool. I haven't seen the. I haven't watched the trailer yet.
The trailer looks quite good. It could make it kind of look part dark comedy and part, like, very sinister. Plus, it has, like, similar, like, really abrupt violin music, like, in the style of Old Boy. So that was almost music to my ears for the trailer. Like, damn, I'm going to have to wait a year before I could see this film.
See Dragon Ball in the meantime?
Dragon Ball's number one in five Asian countries at the moment.
Yeah. We're going to eat our words so bad.
The thing is, it'll probably make its money back, but it still doesn't make it a good movie.
We've got a record and banter that it's going to flop badly.
Shit.
And be a bad movie, so we're accountable.
Ah, fuck. Oh well.
Well, stuff tends to be sometimes bigger in Asia, not because it's an Asian thing in origin. But certain movies just are a hit all over Asia and sort of peaked south in the West. Mm-hmm. Quite quick.
The thing is
hoping
hit in Asia, but it still only made $10 million.
Yeah, but
that's like the dinner service.
Mm-hmm.
Pay for the catering they had on the shoot.
But it's good in a way that the reason I think it all ticked all the boxes in Asia is because wasn't it originally a Japanese cartoon anyway. So its franchise should be fucking huge over there anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, that, and they've got, like, Chow Yun-fat in a movie, like, in the movie as well.
So if anything, that's the area it will make some money in, but...
Yeah. And, yeah, there's plenty of copies of it have appeared on all these torrent sites now.
Not really.
And you're like...
Dubbed for...
Not clue. There's
dubbed Chinese.
But... I've never went that far into it. I've just noticed the posts of it, and I was like, phew. I keep thinking it's like this film isn't going to be out to the summer, but it's something like next month. Mm-hmm. It's like shit that got here fast.
Yeah,
I'm just not one to talk about it anymore.
Oh, by the way, turning to Dragon Ball a bit, I posted this quote on the forum, but the brilliant Love HK film summarized the movie as such. I'm going to pull it up here because they are great. Kids with low standards may enjoy Dragon Ball Evolution, but everyone else will only be mildly diverted, if not totally annoyed. Actual Dragon Ball fans will scream bloody murder, and those with respect for Steven Chow, who was the producer, and Giant Fat may begin to question their loyalties. If you buy the action figures, the bad guys will win. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they ripped that movie apart. Tried to like it, I think, but it just wasn't bearable for them. Scared Stiff is probably will always be more memorable because it's not Dragon Ball, basically. I think you can sum it up as that. Everything that is not Dragon Ball is probably going to be hugely memorable.
Although I do remember seeing the advertisements for it in the UK. They're just this one gag where they're basically ripping themselves, where the lead character is trying to gel down his funky hair. Once he manages it, the hair springs back up and the gel goes over the mirror.
A little distance from the movie to look at it in a humorous light. I kind of didn't expect that. Wow.
But then you see all like the CGI vehicles and that pish.
Quickly down.
It shows you a little hint of promise, but then they just drown it out.
It's opening soon over there.
It must be. I don't give a toss. I'm not even going to the lengths of illegally downloading it, because that will be like just a waste of time, internet, legalness. I would hate it if I got arrested for illegally downloading Dragon Ball. Maybe that was why I got arrested, because I chose to download Dragon Ball and the police thought, what the fuck's wrong with you, son? Slapped the cuffs on me, the fucking movie police.
You now got a 600 movies banned list. You're not getting
The judge is reading my rights for downloading copyrighted films, tells me my fine, then I receive a fine for twice the price for actually choosing Dragon Ball to download. I wonder if that film will make back its money.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Just have to take a monumental, this movie is so bad you gotta watch it. And I don't know. Keep play it in Asia for about 20 years. Then it will make back its money.
Mm-hmm. I completely forgot to mention that, on the last movies watched, that I was in the middle of rewatching Dragon Tiger Gate again. Just before we started recording, I paused it at the point where it comes up to the good fight scene where it's on the baseball field.
Okay, I haven't seen it, so.
Oh, right, I thought you did. It does come up to this great scene where there's sort of like an assassination attempt on Chen Kuan-Tai.
Uh-huh. Ooh, he's in it? Cool.
Yeah, he plays sort of like Donnie Yen's triad boss. So, it comes to this great shot where the people with baseball bats beating Chen Kuan-Tai down. Then it's got this great shot where it looks like as if the camera's running, like going along the grass, and it's zoomed in on the feet of Donnie Yen. It zooms out and then it goes back and up, and it shows you him running with like a pole. I think it's a pole. Then it goes into like this big fight scene where he's kicking like all kinds of ass. It's just like really easy, disposable, fun ass action.
I'm sure it is. I just haven't had any hurry to watch it.
Yeah.
So since I'm not reviewing it, I'm not buying it either. I'm more content watching like Jimmy Wang Yu Bashers as I'm doing now with Yasuaki Kurata.
Mm-hmm.
So Knight Errant, which is fun. And did you see that video posted online where they were talking about the man from Hong Kong and what a total asshole Jimmy Wang Yu was on set? People sort of knew that Jimmy Wang Yu, he fancied himself a bit bigger than he actually was, but the movies doesn't automatically become bad for me because I think he kicked ass. And he was a cool director, so whatever.
it's gone to the point where I've gotten over the majority of my codes, so.
Right, well, I didn't know you had one.
It was Saturday night. I realised it was starting, and I was like, ah, oh, fuck. So for that time, it was the sore throat. By the time Monday came, sore throat, then runny nose yesterday, so sniffling, this, that, and next thing. That was the thing I thought, is that this podcast has got to be mostly because, well, well, you can, has you! So, now I'm not sniffling it, it's just more of the occasional chesty cough, but I can when it's coming, so I could quickly whip out the microphone.
Right.
Like, unplug, cough, plug back in. It's like, as I was saying...
I want his slimy snot live on Paul Costa.
Nah. Eh.
You ever seen that show of the young ones where they all were sick? If you ever saw the young ones?
I didn't watch through it, but I did see, like, best of videos and the occasional episode on BBC Two.
Right.
But...
best British sitcom ever. I'm telling you. Yeah, okay.
Well, no, I was a big fan of Bottom when I was younger. I think I just not lost interest. I just never, for some reason, I'm actually more of a fan of their live shows than the TV series.
Yeah, some of the live shows are good. I thought they were sort of running on empty a bit during the fourth or fifth one. The first and second live show, they're great.
Aye, because it was like, I'd got a box set of them for like Christmas, and it was just a box set of the live shows. I wasn't actually aware that this was a TV show as well.
Right, okay.
So, like, all that was new to me, so I thought that was cool, and then they were going on to do a movie, and I realised, like, on BBC Two, I was like, this is actually a TV show as well. So that kind of blew my mind, but I never went to the stage to actually sit down and watch the television series.
Great, I love it. It's their best. Well, obviously they have good chemistry, judging by the way they fuck about on stage and mess up for each other. You know,
yeah.
Start making each other fluff lines and like fucking hell, a line from the play.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite bits. Like, well, shut the fuck up. We're never gonna get out of South fucking Hampton. It'll be closed soon. Just get on with the fucking play. They're making a video. And everything is unprofessional. It's a bit where he's talking about committing suicide, and he can't he can't stop laughing. You're not too upset about it. That's the kind of pitch perfect chemistry between two people, you know, that like to be terrorized that way, yet not, you know. But they put out warnings before the TV airings over here during the 90s, where during the opening credits, they had this very grave and serious guy talking about, these are fictional characters and they are doing things that hurt each other, but it's not real and you should not do it because it is not real. On a light-hearted comedic show.
Yeah.
But I think, but they were airing it like... during late afternoon, where a lot of, say, 7th to 9th graders, which was the age I was in, roundabout, was watching.
But yeah.
Fucking hell, we do know what's real and what's not real, so.
Mm-hmm.
At least we had the choice to watch it, and they didn't do it. You know, they didn't put a crawl during every fight that they had in the show, just to make sure it's not real. But I like this very grave, authoritarian voice. The defender of moral was talking. I love the young ones. It's one of those, like Monty Python, it just breaks rules.
Right.
There's one show where they're invaded by people from the medieval ages and everything's looking really bad. What are we gonna do? Ah, who cares? And then the credits roll and they start playing poker and, you know, that kind of thing.
Aye.
There's a guy in it. Every show called Alexei Sale. Have you heard of him?
No.
So a Marxist comedian. He's always, in real life, he's actually been like that. So Marxist communist comedian. And he's always in every show as the one member of the Belovsky family. You know, it's like he plays the landlord often. That's Jerzy Belovsky. And then looking the same in the episode afterwards, but they recognize him like Reggie Belovsky. What are you doing? You know, it was 20 Belovsky relatives, basically. It probably made more of a splash during the early 80s because it was so outrageously provocative and anti-Thatcher.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they even turned to the camera, you know, when the character Adrian Edmondson plays, he plays the punk rocker, when he gets pregnant, or at least he thinks he gets pregnant, they don't have anything to sit on because they had a burn and everything in the house. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he turns to the camera, Rick Mayall, I hope you're satisfied, Thatcher! You know, this very aggressive thing. I don't think you could really... Not every show did that back then. It was a musical guest every episode. Because they said if they had a musical guest on, they were a variety show and they could get more money. So they had like Motorhead playing and Madness were in two episodes and these kind of very, some bands you never heard of again and stuff like that. So just unwarranted musical numbers in the middle of a show. Yeah, it was kind of an odd thing. It was part of the show, yet not. They just hung around waiting for them to stop playing. And you know, they had Dexy Midnight Runners. Mm-hmm. One episode, and one of the demands from the character Rick Mayall plays, because he plays the anarchist, was that the Dexter Midnight Runners should play in the university library every day or every Tuesday afternoon. And another character says, well, they're already set up in the lab upstairs. Cut to them playing a little musical number in the laboratory. It would make for a good movie, which again I'm surprised they haven't started to.
That was probably watching it right now.
It's a good time.
Maybe we have to wait so they could get more of their plot developed.
Yeah.
Because it's gone to the point where he's been voted off the island.
It's picked up again. So, I mean, okay, they could have done a part one.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's part two.
Wong Jing's sitting there and he's like, brilliant.
Kung
I don't even need to think about this one. It's happening right in front of me.
It's Kung Fu photography boy.
And guy. Maestro gambler wife.
Two.
Yes.
Starring Nick Jung as Edison Chen.
And there'll be, what's it, Ian Q as the naughty twin. That'd be good if they just referred to it as the naughty twin.
Based totally on reality and very balanced view on of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Not fictionalized at all.
And yes.
And like the centerpiece of the film is like a 30-40 minute, like, you know, bow chicka bow chicka bow.
An occasional like camera flash.
Wow. Well, it's happened before. They made cheap films in that regard before. So, everywhere. So exploitation.
Go exploitation.
I would watch it actually. Just to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe write a review of it.
Not to the length of a video review on YouTube. There'd be a lot censored out.
I wouldn't put up any naughty bits in the video review because that automatically gets way too much attention from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The powers that be, so you gotta be careful about that. Because I did that with my review of Forbidden Legends Sex and Chopsticks. No visible nipples or bush. But yeah. but the sex scenes were still in there, and they've left that review alone. But they took down the trailer, which I put up as a test. So
all right, I've noticed they've actually turned it a second one.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a second one because the story it's based on, the main plot of the main core of the story, is not it's not something the first movie covers. Forbidden Legends, Sex and Chopsticks. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite looking forward to the second one in that regard. It's supposed to be very much darker. The first one was a light romp.
Cheap, that was a dark romp.
Cheap bunker fun.
Mm-hmm. So this movie is now set in the evening.
Yeah, you can say that anyway. and directed by the wonderfully named Cash Chin.
Oh, Lord.
Wonderful. But brilliant director of The Eternal Evil of Asia, Sex and Zen 2, Naked Poison, and now these two.
Mm-hmm.
So wow, quality flicks then.
Absolutely, they are quality flicks.
The guy knows his genre.
Elvis Choi turns into a dickhead in The Eternal Evil of Asia, literally. There's a classic shot of him as a dickhead.
I think that was actually used in our Christmas competition.
Yeah, and he still has the you know, his trademark stash.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can't lose the stash. You wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah, exactly. But it's sort of, it's a wonderful makeup, that, actually, for Hong Kong. It's not like they put a stupid little hat on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, cover it yourself.
And a block of cheese, most likely. I've not even opened it yet. It could be fucking horrible. And the thing is, I don't why I need to buy this actual kit. I'm pretty sure I could buy a block of cheese, a pot of salsa, sour cream, crisps.
It just sounds like work. Mm-hmm. Sounds like something you have to assemble.
Yep, I'll just get it to Margaret. Like, woman, get, food, make. I would start doing okay, man. No, it's like, me, make fire, and I just turn on the Xbox.
Me now play.
Aye.
Me now not talk to you, woman, in the kitchen. You not talk to me.
Aye. Me, you talk, 9:30, half hour.
Now you sound Chinese all of a sudden.
Shit. You sound like Chinese caveman.
You sound like Egg Shen from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, stereotypical badness.
That's a brilliant film.
I have not seen that film since I was a child.
But you have seen it once?
I have seen it. I just remember the floating eyeball thing freaked me the fuck out.
It's...
I was like, holy crap! I was like, I was just basically hide behind the couch when that was on.
The greatest thing about that movie is like, it's just so out there for a Hollywood movie. It's so great fun because of it. Because he obviously was inspired by Sue. He said that openly. Mm-hmm. He had watched Sue. And it's just fucking brilliant. The Carter Wong is in it. It's a part of the Carpenter era that is actually, you know, where he was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Every Carpenter movie is there. They Live is brilliant. If you haven't seen that in a few years or at all, see it. It's a stars... well, maybe not someone you know of, but apparently stars a former wrestler, Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah. He's actually wrestling this Sunday.
Oh, he's still doing that? Okay.
I'll link you up to some YouTube videos once we're finished.
If you haven't seen They Live, this should probably earn a spot on a rental list. So a drifter, which is Roddy Piper, discovers a pair of sunglasses that allows him to wake up to the fact that aliens have taken over the Earth.
Yeah.
Because when he puts that on, everywhere he looks, if he looks at a sign that says, you know, car wash, in actuality, there's a hidden message behind that. You know, buy, or whatever. And he can see aliens with these glasses. It's just a great fucking film. It's fun, a bit serious, and just unique as hell. So They Live.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
It's fucking... John
Carpenter.
Surprise,
it's not being remade. We better not give him the idea.
Yeah.
They'll be looking at statistics and realise someone's writing this movie and say, we have an audience, remake it.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that one got remade. I mean, they've gone through the Carpenter catalogue. They probably want to go through The Thing first, but that was a remake in itself, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If they can make, it's like when they do remakes of The Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been done so many times, so it's not like... It's the remake of the Abel Ferrara version from the 90s. It's not like the, you know the Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman movie from a little while back. That was basically Body Snatchers again. So, you know, that story is okay. But I'm betting they'll get to They Live at one point and just make it totally not... It's a movie that can only be made at that time, in a way. It's just so uniquely... the feeling of it is so unique. So I think it would come up as more generic when they remake it. Just like remaking Big Trouble in Little China, it just takes a certain something to achieve that kind of feeling with that movie.
You'll have like a banned list on your website. You are not permitted to visit my website, then it's a list of names.
Probably, because I rant on about negative people in my review for Twins Effect 2. There's this whole paragraph where I say, why the fuck did you buy this film when you knew what it's going to be? Because I think it was back in the old days when I used to go on Jackie Chan film, people used to bitch about how Twins Effect was crap and how the twins couldn't act, but then they say, oh, I just bought Twins Effect 2. This will be shit too, but I don't know why I bought it, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, it can't be.
And it just really annoys me as to why people are going to buy it just so they can bitch at the twins.
And they can't really well, a lot of people do bitch.
They're picking than they were, but...
Mm-hmm. A lot of people can bitch, but the thing is, they've not actually went to the level of buying the film to watch it. So, oh, no. I hate them. It's like, did you see the movie? No.
But I can't... Oh, I have words.
Mm-hmm. That 2-minute YouTube trailer is all I needed.
It's a very good topic to bring up in a review, James. So because I very much agree that I had a bitch for the sake of bitching.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins Effect 2, coming from my perspective, is not a movie that necessarily appealed to me, but that's okay. Others, mm-hmm. it can appeal to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to bitch and moan because people like it as such. And so.
Mm-hmm. See, this is where I carefully edit, where Ken starts saying Twins Effect 2 is not a movie, then just end it there.
No.
So in my opinion, Twins Effect 2 is not a movie.
It will be like a podcast 40, what is it, was this 43 or 42?
43.
It will be like 43.1 where I defend myself. And I will upload that to make sure, and you will upload another podcast saying he actually is...
he actually really said this.
Just that. Stop being a dick. You remember that lesson from a few podcasts ago? That still applies.
I do, yeah. I actually met people like that and I thought, why the fuck are they such dicks?
I think I should actually include that
because it makes me look like much less of a dick than I actually am.
Mm-hmm. For when I rewrite all my Ken Cheng reviews, I think I will actually have a specialised paragraph which will start off with the line, "To all the haters." Fuck you. Full stop. Next paragraph.
Oh, but that's kind of a thing. We touched upon it slightly when we talked about Young and Dangerous before, that people judge it based on what they know of basically Ken Cheng as mm-hmm. Ken Cheng, which is not the tuned correct way to do things, but people realize that way too late in life,
mm-hmm.
and possibly never, which again I'm very glad, James, that you bring that up in such a review, because people need that smack in the face. And possibly, I don't know if you wrote it verbatim like that and swore in the review, but that is possibly what's needed sometimes to give people that slap in the face.
Well, I'll just put it in a more friendly way, because my site is, how you say, family friendly.
Okay.
It's from the age of 4, and
so it's not the angry.
Probably they can actually read.
It's not the angry Asian movie nerd, then.
No, I'm the happy Asian movie nerd.
There's an alternative website title.
Yeah.
HappyAsianMovieNerd.com.
But it will be happy, because I only be with.
And then I could host the alternative site. Nasty Asian Movie Nerd. We'd create a whole series of blogs that no one will visit.
And it will
step on our way to fame.
And it will be, you know, reviews along the lines of, "Hello, I like this film. Bye bye."
Well, I'll actually get to the point where I'm so lazy it'll just be audio reviews when you click it. Aye, it was good.
Aye.
And then so I'll actually just use the same clip for half a movie, like half a dozen other films. Is it? Aye, I think Young and Dangerous 2 is good.
It's important to have...
Go to the next step and just write, just have whole list, just copy and paste whole list of films and just put good, bad.
Like a naughty list.
Just write the first letter.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So many ideas. None of them will take the internet by storm, but fuck it.
Mine and Mass do.